Reading to you from the second chapter of James and with the fifth verse. Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Well, friends, I want you to know we're having beautiful spring weather here in Colorado. But you never know. Tomorrow we could get 6 inches of snow. It snows up in the mountains quite often, and it snows here quite often. But the trees are all buttered out, and the tulips are coming up, and the crocus, and it's just nice here. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea, or maybe a lemonade. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Philippians, the 3rd chapter, beginning with the 7th verse. But whatever things were gained to me, those things have I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I am already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I have laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting that what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Friends, we've labeled this questions about commitment. Now, friends, you don't have to be overly smart. You certainly don't have to be overly smart to realize that that Paul was sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've tried to do that, friends. Oh, my stars, I have come way short of doing that which God has called me to do. But I've tried. And you know, that's all we can do. And the Bible said, be therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. You can't be perfect on this earth, but you can strive. And I'll guarantee you, Paul, the man who absolutely hated the gospel, hated God, hated the churches, hated Christians, put him in jail, he was not a good man. But one day on that road, there was a light that appeared out of heaven. And boy, howdy. Saul of Tarsus fell upon his knees and cried out to Jesus, Lord, who art thou? And Jesus said, you know who I am, Saul. You're the one. But you know what, friends? The thing is, when Paul truly was born again, he sold out to Jesus. Now, the day I was saved, I thought I had sold out for Jesus. But, dear friends, I was still a babe in Christ. Didn't know too much. Didn't know my left hand, my right hand. But then, one day, a year later, God called me to preach. And then he got my attention. Then I decided I'd better give up the things of the world and try to follow Jesus. And again, I said, I have tried faithfully to follow Jesus. Well, Paul was a man of great commitment. And I'd like to ask you, friends, would you like to measure your life up to Paul's? Compare your commitment. Just a second here. You see, friends, I'm still on oxygen, and I didn't have my oxygen on, so I thought I'd better put it on. But you know what? I believe that God's going to heal my oxygen and get me off on it so that I can be freed up. Oh, I would love to get off this oxygen. It's been a burden around my neck for about 6-7 years. What have you been willing to count for but loss for Christ? And it said in verse 7, but whatsoever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. These things that were gain to me. You know, I told you I'm dealing with a man that's an executive guy at this big fancy seafood restaurant. He said God has called him to be a youth pastor in a church. But guess what? He's been running from God for years. Listen, I want you to know he has to step down from a very good paying job to go to school. You don't have to go to school to be a pastor, but it would be very helpful to him if he did. And I know that he's troubled. He said, I feel so like I'm shaking my fist in God's face. Well, my suggestion, dear friend, is for him to surrender. And God will take care of his needs. My stars, I'm going to write a book. I'm writing a book on some of the things that the Lord led me and my family through while we were struggling when I first started to preach. And it was tough, but it was faith building. Walking by faith is one of the most exciting things that you will ever do in your entire life. What it's saying, I trust you, Lord. I believe you. I know you'll take care of me. I know a young man that I went to Bible college with in Riverside, California, many, many years ago. He said that God had called him to preach. But he didn't want to preach. He was a chef in a big fancy restaurant. But he said, one day my little boy got sick and died. He said, I didn't know whether God was punishing me for what I didn't do. All I know is I had to surrender. Well, he did surrender to preach, and he did go to Bible college. And you know, friends, about 3-4 years later, I found out he had left the ministry and went back to be a chef in a restaurant. He couldn't take the gap. But friends, you know, I don't know. Maybe he wasn't called of God. I don't know. But I know he didn't do the right thing. Maybe tonight God's calling you to be a soul winner. Maybe God's calling you to be a missionary. Maybe God's calling you to be a preacher, song leader, whatever. But if he's calling you, remember, beloved, he will not rescind that call. And you'll spend the rest of your life in misery. I remember one night in a big fancy church in San Francisco, this man got up to speak. And he said, dear friends, I have to share this with you tonight because there might be someone in this auditorium that did exactly what I did. He said, you know, I was a plumbing contractor, and God called me to preach. And I said, well, Lord, I'll be glad to do that for you, but I don't have a nice house for my family to live in. So if you let me build this house and build my business up a little bit, I'll be glad to go. Well, beloved, when he built his house and his business got prospered, He said, Lord, I need a little bit more money in savings account so I could do that. That wasn't faith. Did you know what? God couldn't use him anymore. And he didn't use him anymore. He said, I'm the most miserable man in the world. And I do believe that. I don't know, maybe I'm speaking to someone in this broadcast tonight who's running from God, who says, well, what good can I do in a world this big? Well, you heard the story of the little boy that was out on the ocean, out in on a beach. And when the tide went out, there's a whole bunch of starfish lying there dying in the sun. And this little boy went up and picked one of those starfish and threw it out in the water. And this guy said, what are you doing that for, little boy? It don't make any difference. He said, it sure did to that starfish I threw back. You don't realize how important your life is. What is unimportant to you is good for Christ's sake. That's what he wants. Your planned career, your money making, your social life, what really has priority in your life? Well, what have you been willing to count for loss for Christ? I read in verse 8, more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Listen to me. When Jesus called those men, those fishermen, they had to give up their fishing boats. That's all they knew what to do, but they were real good at what they did. They gave them up to follow Jesus. I remember how I wanted to be the best roofing contractor in Seattle, Washington. I had some tremendous accounts, great accounts. But when God called me to preach, I just almost forgot about what I wanted to do in my own life. I told you this story, and I'll tell it to you again. Years ago, when I was attending Bible college in Riverside, California, I was roofing in the daytime and going to school at night. One day, a roofing consultant representative of this big company, come over and said, Cecil, I've got an offer for you that I believe you can't turn down. He said, there's a man in Nevada has four lumber companies, and he wants to put a roofing company in each one of them. He's looking for a man to come and set those businesses up. He said, I know that you've been in business for yourself, and I know that you're a Christian and you're honest, and I believe this would just be what you want. It is something I always wanted. I called the man and told him, I said, I'll tell you what I have to do, sir. I have to pray about this first, and then I'll give my decision tomorrow. The minute I started praying, I got to know that I was not to take that job. Something I've always wanted. I could support my family. I'd have a tremendous salary. I'd have a brand new pickup truck and everything. But God said no. Oh, it was a crossroad, and it was a tough one to give up. But you know what, friends? If I had not given up that offer, I probably wouldn't be preaching. I probably wouldn't even be serving the Lord, because I put myself ahead and my needs ahead of what the Lord wanted. You've heard about that great German missionary, George Mueller. Giving is not measured by what you surrender to Christ, but what you withhold. You know, when you give a 10% of your income as a tithe, what the Bible asks us to do, that other 90% goes much farther. I remember one time after I surrendered to go ahead and be a tither. I remember one time we didn't have any money in the bank and didn't have much jobs to look forward to right that time. So I told the Lord, well, you know, maybe I better not tithe this week. Maybe I'll tithe next week. A tire blew out of my truck, and that's just about what my tithe would have been. Friends, the same is true of dedication or commitment. what you hold back from Christ measures your commitment. How long has it been since you measured your growth in Christ? Let's read in verse 12. Not that I have already attained it, but already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Not as though I have already attained. Paul's not speaking of salvation. This has to do with Christian growth. You know, the other day, my wife and I went out to my daughter's place, and there was 8 granddaughters, great-grandchildren, and grandchildren there, my daughters and my sons. What a wonderful time. And those, they laid 2 of my little great-granddaughters down on the floor side by side. And guess what they kept doing? They kept trying to, and they're only over a month old, and they were trying to grab for each other's hands. And I got to thinking, wouldn't it be terrible if they never grew up? If all their life they'd be little babies. Well, you know, that's the trouble. A lot of Christians, they never grow up. They're little babies in Christ. They're complainers, they're moaners, they're groaners. Think of all that Paul had attained. Many converts in churches were started, and he endured terrible persecutions cheerfully. Yet, he is not satisfied. He wants to be closer to Jesus. Was there ever a better day in your Christian life? Are you harboring grudges that hinder your service for Christ? Verse 13, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting that what lies behind and reaching forward to that what lies ahead. Forgetting those things which are behind. Listen, friends. I still like to smell tar. I used to have a big roofing business here in Denver. The smell of tar reminds me of the good days that we had. Did you know, friends, if the Lord had not given me that roofing business, did you know that I couldn't have went to Japan to preach? I wouldn't get to go to Alaska to preach or the Honolulu or Mexico or the Caribbean. I wouldn't have been on radio for 35 years had it not been for my business. So you see, that smell reminds me of the good old days. But we need to forget those things which are behind. We should not remember what God has forgotten. Old bears between believers has to come down. We must stop grieving God's Holy Spirit. Listen to this in Ephesians 4th chapter, 30th verse. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as Christ also has forgiven you. Paul often used athletic concepts to teach about life. Here he's reaching for us, stretching, expecting the prize. When will this prize be presented? At the high, upward calling of Christ. Paul lived each day waiting that call. What if Christ would return today? And friends, you know what? I've said that before. He's coming back. And that's the one great thing that we who know Christ are looking forward to. See, they talked about in the New Old Testament about a virgin birth. They talked about Jesus coming to the world to die for sinners to save the world from their sins. And he did that. Everything that was prophesied in the Old Testament is now been fulfilled in the New Testament with one exception. He has not come back today, but he will. He's coming soon. Are you ready? Listen, friends, if you're not ready for his return, you know what that means? That means you're lost and you're doomed and you're damned for hell. See, God does not send anybody to hell. You sin yourself by rejecting God, by not repenting, by not being sorry for your sins, and recognizing that Jesus did just that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me ask you, how does your commitment compare with Paul's? Will I hang my head? Because it hasn't. I've tried. Oh, friends, I've made lots of mistakes since I've been a preacher. I've done things I've had to cry out and ask God to forgive. Just, well, you know what I'm talking about. But listen, God will use believers totally committed to Christ. Are you committed to Christ? You say, Cecil, you're talking about commitment. Well, I'll remember another story. My wife and I was a pastor of a church in Oregon, and we had to drive about 40 miles a day to go to the church, and that's a long drive, and I was only getting $100 a month. And I remember about a mile from the church, we found the most beautiful house I have ever seen. It was a farmhouse, had a big barn, had a creek running through the place with fish in it, had a big garden space, and it had fruit trees. Oh, my stars. Everything a man with 5 kids would really want. But you know, God never let me take that. When I prayed about it, I got a no. You say, well, that was not very nice. Oh, yes, it was. Did you know what? We didn't move, and one day an alcoholic's wife came to our house and told my wife that her husband was an alcoholic. I had the privilege of introducing him to Christ and about 8 of their family. If we'd have moved, we'd have never met these people. See, God has a crossroad and a way for us to get there. Friends, what's your crossroad tonight? You say, Cecil, I've lived a terrible life. No, I haven't been an alcoholic or that, but I just haven't been living a good life. And fact of the matter is, one time I cheated on my wife or I cheated on my husband. Do you think God can forgive that? Most assuredly he can forgive that. If you confess your sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive all sins. Well, anyway, let's supposing tonight you know in your heart that you're not saved. You know that when you say, well, but you know, Cecil, I thought I was a Christian. Thinking you're a Christian and knowing a Christian is two different things. If you know Christ, you'll know your sins have been forgiven. You know your name's been written in the Lamb Book of Life. Now, if you're sitting by your radio tonight and you're thinking, oh, my stars, maybe this will be the last time God will ever tug at your heart. This might be the last time. I don't know, but he knows. And if you reject him, the Bible said the Spirit of God will not always strive a man whereby a man must be saved. So tonight, if God's Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, won't you bow your head and surrender your life? I'll lead you in the most powerful prayer you can pray. Now, this, if you don't repent of your sins, it's just words. But if you're sorry for your sins and are willing to accept Jesus, here's a prayer that you need to pray. Kind Heavenly Father, I admit I'm a sinner. Oh, God, I'm so sorry for my wasted life. Tonight, Lord, I'm convicted that I need to turn my life over to you. And so, Lord, I open my heart and receive you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church, but I am concerned where you spend eternity. So, 303-471-8534. Now listen, if you can't afford to call, you call me collect, and I'll accept that. Okay? God bless you.
Let your love, let your love flow.
So many folks are lonely. Oh, Lord, they need someone to care. can't help making this my prayer. Let your love flow through me. Let your love flow through me. Make me a blessing, Lord, wherever I may be. Keep me pure, keep me clean, so that you might be seen. Let your love flow through me. Lord, when I need a lost one, give me all
friends. For the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. You know, I want to thank you precious people for praying for me and my wife in our prison ministries and praying for our health. I just appreciate you so much. I don't know you. I mean, I don't know the people, hundreds, thousands of people that listen to the broadcast, and it means so much. No, I'm not a great preacher. No, I'm not perfect. Yes, I've made mistakes. But I tell you, I'm not ashamed to tell people about my Savior. He reached down into my heart on my bended knees, crying like a baby, and asking Him to forgive my alcoholism, my sin, and to come into my heart. He changed me. That's been 55 years ago, dear friends. Oh, yes, it has. 55 years ago. So I know it works. Well, listen. Until this time next Sunday, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Oh, keep looking up. For this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.